This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. For today, I'll be speaking on the topic, Finding Fulfillment. Finding Fulfillment. It is true that every one of us individually desires to live a rich and well-watered life. We want to live a life in which we can look at our lives at the end of our journey and give glory to God for all our wins, our successes, for those victories that we had in the course of our lifetime, for the progresses we made dealing with so many things, and for success at the end of our journey. It is important, however, not to saddle the responsibility of fulfillment on a second party or a third party. You are responsible for the depth of your own fulfillment, for your own regrets, for your own joys, for your own triumph in life. As a believer, you cannot blame your failure or your inability to produce results on anyone for any reason. It is important that you take responsibility for your own life. It is important that you take responsibility for your own successes. You can't blame God because you are born in a community in Africa, whereas somebody else was born in a community in America. You can't basically say, well, God has been unfair. You didn't come, you are not born with all the advantages that some people have, or that you are not born with the silver spoon that some people are born with. To think like this is to give ourselves a pass mark for doing nothing. You can always change your circumstances. You can always choose to live beyond the limitations that life has brought to you, or to live far ahead of all the issues that you are supposed or you are supposedly facing due to the circumstances of your birth. One of the best examples of those who find fulfillment in life without a third-party intervention or without blaming anybody for their loss in life, one of the best examples is Jesus Christ. We know how he was born. We know how he was conceived. We know his journey. We know his story. Do you know that Jesus was born to a town that had the reputation of nothing good coming out of it? He didn't allow it to affect him at all. He rose far above all human limitations pertaining to geographical location, pertaining to parentage, pertaining to wealth, pertaining to class, pertaining to every indices that men usually would use to measure success. When he began to preach the gospel, he was preaching a unique gospel that has nothing to do with poverty or nothing to do with riches. He was focused on the word of God. A few days ago, I saw one of Nigeria's leading preachers dedicating two private jets. And I saw him preaching afterwards in a church setting. And I began to laugh when I began to listen to his message. He was basically talking about poverty. He was saying that, oh, there was a project that the church needed to get done, that he just said that, okay, they should go and do it without raising a committee, without raising money from people. He just said, okay, go and get it done. And they were able to do it within 13 days, spending millions, hundreds of millions of naira. And the first thought that struck me when I heard him was not to criticize him, no. He knows his own audience. But the first thought that crossed my mind was that why is it that even ministers who are successful in Africa, they are tuned always to talk about poverty? There's no fulfillment in money. If you have tons of it and piles of it, if you don't have Christ, money is the least fulfilling thing in this world. Money has no fulfillment value. It can give you success at a level, but it does not offer fulfillment. It can pay for a school fees for you so that you can study abroad, bringing you into a place where you never thought you could ever be in your life. But that still isn't fulfillment. Fulfillment comes when, without any money, without anything, fulfillment comes when you find yourself experiencing joy overflow in the presence of the Holy Spirit, a oneness with God that transcends every other kind of relationship, an understanding of the principles of the Spirit that redefines who you are from your very core. There is nothing as fulfilling as knowing that when you open your mouth, it is as if God Himself has opened His mouth. Nothing beats that feeling. To know that you are known and loved by God, to know that the word of God in your mouth is quickened, to know that you are an agency of God on the earth, to know that there is nothing in this world that you do not have complete power and authority over. That, ladies and gentlemen, is fulfillment, to be like God. A lot of people want to find fulfillment through their partners, sometimes their husbands or their wives. They really rely heavily, they depend heavily on that person for emotional support and validation. They believe that as long as that person has given them the pass mark, they are fulfilled, they are fine. And the day that person decides to speak the truth to them, the person becomes, in quotes, the enemy. Now, I've seen this several times in several kinds of relationships and marriages. People like lies. People like being deceived. People like being praised when they are not deserving of it. Many of us here would prefer that the person we call our lover, or the person we call the husband or the wife, that the person should have our back 100%. We would like that. We will celebrate it, that this person should have my back. And then some of us will go ahead and we make very lousy decisions. And then the other party will say, no, this decision is so lousy, I can't even find it within myself to condone it or to see anything good in this decision. And suddenly we lose our joy. We lose our fulfillment, our sense of fulfillment. Makes us feel as if the person is breaking us, putting us down, tearing us apart. You see, because In order for us to do better, those who are in our lives, who we call our spouses, in order for us to do better, we must allow them also to do their duty of criticism, positive criticism, because we are trying to fit into their lives while we are also trying to fit into their lives. But in order to find fulfillment, the answer has to be with you. Jesus was heavily criticized during his time, sometimes by his own disciples, sometimes by those who came to die for, sometimes by the teachers of the law. Did you notice that their opinion of him did not ever affect the way he saw himself? He called himself the Son of God. A lot of people disputed it. They called it a blasphemy. They warned him severely not to call himself that name anymore. They said, "Your father is Joseph. Your father was a carpenter. Do not claim divinity when you are just a mundane person." Did you notice that Jesus did not cower and say, "Oh, I've gotten the attention I needed and I don't want to offer any favors. I'm trying to change. I will change how I see myself. I will change how I talk about myself. I will change how I address myself." He never did it. He had found his place in God. He has come to know who his father was. It was the height of fulfillment that one will come to know is our God, and that one will be able to express freely, "I am a child of God. I am a joint heir with Christ." And you are saying it not just from your head, but from the pit of your tummy, from a place of understanding so deep that it begins to redefine your core as a believer. We must understand the importance, the infinite importance of serving God for who God is and knowing God for who God is. We must find fulfillment. Again, fingers are not a call. Your circumstances and my circumstances are likely not going to be the same. Because our circumstances are different, it is important, therefore, that each person will carry his own mat and walk. Each person will carry his own mat and walk. You cannot compare your life with anybody. There's no fulfillment in comparison. But in order for you to live a fulfilled life, the life that you have chosen to live, you must accept it, embrace it, and love it for what it is. There's a story that I shared with the ministers a few days ago of a particular lady who happened to have strong challenges getting a spouse. She had strong challenges getting a spouse. Prayed and fasted. Did a lot of things. She couldn't find any man to marry her. At that time, she felt fulfillment would come from a marriage. She felt unfulfilled being single. And the one thing she was telling to the Lord was, "I want a husband. Give me a home. I want a marriage." Now, I've said this often, that there is no fulfillment in marriage. Of course, many people won't believe, but it is the truth. It is just another corridor of human reality. Another corridor of human existentialist relationship. Another aspect of life that some individuals thrive in and some struggle with. Marriage can never be the defining factor of joy or laughter or fulfillment. It is an ongoing pattern in the life of every individual who got married. There's no medal for it. Nobody has the formula that makes it work. That somebody's marriage is working. If you study the person's marriage from now till kingdom come, if you put the same everything the same person puts into your own marriage, it does not mean the marriage will work. That's the truth. One man's meat, they say, is another man's poison. While some are fulfilled being married, some get married and discover that it is not for them. Some get married and discover that there is no joy in it because there is so much dependent on another person. Therefore, you can't say, "Oh, I'm fulfilled." You can only be fulfilled when you are in charge of your own destiny. Not when a third party is involved, not when children are involved, not when a husband or a wife is involved. Fulfillment must be an innate thing that comes from within you, a pull of satisfaction that I've lived the life that I'm supposed to live. Apostle Paul found fulfillment. He said, I've fought the good fight of faith. There is a crown that is laid before me. I am fulfilled. I am fulfilled. I'm ready to go home now. I'm ready to go home now. You must understand that that fulfillment Apostle Paul was expressing was not as a result of his wife or children or family members having achieved anything. It came from knowing his place in God. It came from knowing the position he occupies in the place of grace. It came with knowing that everything God set for him to do as assignments, he fulfilled them. That was where the fulfillment came from. Being able to give an account before God that you fought a good fight, that you lived a good life, that you fulfilled everything that God has set before you to do in your lifetime. That is fulfilling. So this woman got married eventually. Got married to a man, and the man she got married to also had strong issues sexually. So she had strong issues with getting a husband, and she felt once she could get a man into her life would turn to an oasis of joy. She couldn't get anybody. So eventually, when this man came calling, and the man said, "Oh, I'm not looking for a sex partner. I'm looking for a companion, somebody to come back home to in the evening, somebody to share my life with, somebody to make me happy, somebody that I can call from work and we just have a few minutes discussion, somebody that can give me great joy in my heart." Now, I know that it is difficult to go into such a relationship, especially in the context of a marriage, because of the demand, the general and prevalent demand of many, that marriage has to be sexually consummated. Somebody like Daniel, for example, he was an eunuch, basically castrated when he left Israel at a young age, when he came into Babylon. Himself and the three Hebrews, all of them, they suffered the same fate. They were castrated because they were working with the king and in the palace, And the kings of those days do not want anybody that will serve them as eunuchs to get tempted by the harem that kings kept. Did you notice that Daniel lived a very fulfilled life? And he did that because he had a relationship with God, and that gave him great joy. Even the Jews that made the law, claiming that anybody that has been castrated does not have a place in their temple or a place among their people, they celebrated Daniel till tomorrow. They're still celebrating that prophet. Because to them, that it was an exception to the rule. I called this lady. I said, don't get into this marriage. If what you are looking for is sex and children, this man does not have it to offer. He does not have it. I called the young man. He said, sir, don't marry this woman. She's desperate for a husband. And desperate people don't think well. They will take the first offer. They will take anything to stop drowning. Anything they see on the surface of the water, they will grab and lay hold of it. When they get to the shore, they will then realize that the person that they grabbed was too short, or too fat, or too skinny, or has to have a mark. But while they are in the water, the person will be an angel of God because the person saved them from drowning. Don't marry her. Leave her be. There is no fulfillment in marriage. You can find fulfillment in other kinds of relationships that will be less tasking. Oh, the man said to me, Ragbenga. Ragbenga. What happens to her in future if I don't marry her? What happens to my properties? Will she just be thrown out without any notice by friends, and they will claim that she didn't have any child for me? I know I can't have biological children. I'm not hunting for children. I just want a companion, somebody that I can spend the rest of my life with. As at the time, the man just clocked, I believe, maybe 50 at the time, and he felt, having spent 50 years with a reasonable level of unhappiness and lack of fulfillment, he should be able to find somebody. So they got married. And there was no fulfillment in it for the woman. And there was no fulfillment in it for the man. And there could have been if they both shifted their priorities away from what people are saying, the pressure of family members and relatives, societal and worldview issues, a very ideal couple with joy in their hearts. But there's no fulfillment. There's no fulfillment. When you look for fulfillment outside of yourself, you'll be frustrated. There'll be a lot of prayers that you will pray that are sincerely not necessary. You will wake up in the night frustrated, troubled, disturbed when you shouldn't be. You would, in your own heart, think God has been unfaithful when God has been totally faithful. Human beings are naturally insatiable. We find it difficult to find joy in little things. We find it difficult to count our blessings and rejoice and delight in the fulfillment of the promises of God. I noticed that if many of us would take our hearts away from trying to please other people, building up expectations that are unrealistic, if we would stay with the script, we will be happy. There is nothing like, oh, I just settled for it. Oh, all those things take away your ability to find fulfillment. You must give fulfillment a chance. You must count your blessings. Name them one by one. The hymnal said, it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It will shock you how far you have come. You can have heaven and lose it because you tune your heart towards this being displeased by the joys of heaven. You can come into Jesus Christ and see yourself as somebody who has failed or that Christ has disappointed you simply because you are not looking through the right lens. Perception is everything. A grateful heart is a joyful heart. Find fulfillment. Find fulfillment. Be determined that you will not live a life in which you always see the cup half full. Or the right expression will be half empty. A life where you would always believe that you are losing out somewhere, or somebody is doing better than you, or you are not doing as good as you ought to. A life of constantly measuring yourself against other people's desires. A life where you feel inadequate because somebody else, a third party, an outsider, said something about you. As I round off, I'll tell you something that taught me a lot about being happy within my own self and finding joy and fulfillment in my own life by myself through the Holy Spirit. I have a sister who got divorced after having three children. Then she got remarried and she began to chase having a child for this new husband. She went into a lot of debt because now fulfillment is no longer in herself. She needed to deliver a child for that man so that in her sight that would then give her fulfillment and then that would also give the other man fulfillment. She spent millions upon millions. And I was looking at her from the sideline. I was thinking in my heart, why have you brought yourself into this place of so much trouble, so much regret? Why do you do this to yourself? I'm asking you, why do we do this to ourselves? Why can't we count our blessings? Bless the Lord, nurture our blessings. Be happy with what God has given us rather than set a rat race before ourselves and continue a quest for fulfillment outside of all the blessings that God has given us. It is very important, ladies and gentlemen, very, very important that you find your place in Jesus, that you find fulfillment in the eternal life he has given you. That you realize that all things are yours. It's not just a mantra or a talking point. It is the truth. Whatever your situation may be, it is well with your soul. Whatever your situation may be, it is well with your soul. You should find fulfillment in that. You should find fulfillment in the fact that you have come to know eternal life. Life will always produce for you the goodies that Jesus has promised. Eternal life is yours. Your mouth will be filled with thanksgiving. your heart be filled with joy. You should say to the Lord, He is your shield and your buckler, the Lord in whom you delight. Don't forget, fulfillment is a quality that comes from the individual. It does not come from above. It does not come from below. It does not come from other party. It comes from you. The moment you say, "Ah, thank you, Jesus, I'm fulfilled," that is the moment to truly understand who you are in Christ, and you have defeated everything called rat race in this earth. I bless the Lord because I know in Him your joy is full. You are fulfilled in all your endeavors, and the hand of the Lord is heavily upon you to achieve great and mighty things for Him in this world. Thank you, Father, for you have done it. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.